Hello, and welcome to the latest Technology Spotlight on the KnowledgeCast podcast, brought to you by Enterprise Knowledge. KnowledgeCast is a look into the world of knowledge management, information management, data management, and everything in between. I'm Joe Hilger, co-founder and COO of Enterprise Knowledge. What we're talking about today is one of our technology spotlights, where we offer a product-centric view of how technology solves today's KM challenges. During each of these episodes, I'll speak with leaders of product companies whose tools help support and solve some of the most important KM challenges we see today. Today, I'm speaking with someone who I've followed on Twitter and other places for quite a while, Michael Anders. Michael's a content strategy evangelist at Content by Kentico, one of the leading headless CMS solutions on the market today. Michael, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Joe. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I'm a big fan of Enterprise Knowledge as well. You've been doing some great work over the years, and I've been very aware of it over the years. So thank you.
Let's start by, why don't you tell us a little bit more about Content? What's the elevator pitch? Why should our listeners care about Content, and why should they be using it?
Sure. So let's start with what I think is a very big problem that almost all large organizations are dealing with, and that is how to be more customer-centric. So if you're a large organization, you obviously have lots of different business units and divisions all interacting with the customer, but it's very hard to coordinate what they're doing. And it's turning out that Content is actually getting in the way of them being as customer-centric as they should be. And part of that relates to how they develop their content and manage it. So they have piles and piles of content scattered across their organization. And it's very hard for them to get the information that they need to their customers when they have all these different piles of content. As a matter of fact, they are asking their customers to go hunt through these different piles, move from pile to pile, sorting through this content, looking for specific web articles or documents to get their answers. Now, this is not really what customers want, and we at Content by Kentico aim to address this problem. We offer a new generation of content management. It's called Headless, and it's very different than how content has been managed in the past. I think the key parts to it is that we are looking to slice up the content into usable pieces. And then we take these usable pieces and we know precisely which piece would be useful to people in different circumstances and deliver that to them. So unlike other approaches, which is really about developing articles and documents, we're really thinking about developing discrete, small content resources that can be reused and combined in different ways. And that ultimately increases the impact that the content can have.
I love it. And two key points there, Michael, that I take from that focus on customer-centric. I think I saw an article the other day where it said 80% of people don't want to talk to you. They want to just look up their answer on the web and get the right answer easily. Mm-hmm. And your example of, I love the visual of this, piles of content across an organization. So what you're helping organizations do is get people the right information at the right time and not piles of content they have to sort through that, frankly, may not even be accurate.
Yeah, it's a huge problem for people to get content that's genuinely relevant to them. And to think about what is behind providing that relevance is very important. We need to think about precisely what they need and how we can get it to them at the right time, where they need to use it. So as I mentioned, what we offer is an approach to content called headless content management. And it has a very sort of technical meaning to it. If people have any familiarity with technology trends, they may understand this, but it is an API-led approach to providing content. So we structure the content, we develop it as structured content, and then we are able to deliver it where it's needed through what's called an API, which allows it to kind of go to whatever destination is required. And what this does is that it means the content by its design is flexible. So unfortunately, with the traditional ways of developing content, you have an article that you have developed, and you may have had one particular purpose in mind for that article, but people may not need exactly what you had in mind when you created that article. So they have to read through that article to see what seems relevant to them. With the headless approach, what we do is we design the content so it's flexible from the start. So we are structuring it, and then we can use whichever pieces of it that we need for the particular scenario where someone needs that content. So it's flexible from the start. Another really key thing about the headless approach is that we're planning this content from the start. So rather than just saying, oh, I need to write up an article that just pulls together my thoughts on something, and everyone sort of has their own way of doing things, we have a plan where we think about what is it that we as an organization need to communicate to our customers, and we need to cover these points, and that's our plan. So that's where the structure comes into place. And when we have the structure, that means we have confidence that we can deliver what we know people need. These points are going to be covered. It's the structure's there, so it's planned. The third thing that headless CMS has is around this delivery. I mentioned the APIs earlier, and I don't want to throw technical jargon. I mean, that's not what excites me personally, although people who are developers love this stuff. But what it does for people who work with content, who develop it and want to support their customers, is it allows you to get very specific about what content you provide to people, and it gives you a lot of ability to deliver it wherever it's needed. And in many cases, people are consuming content in apps these days. So they expect the content to come to them and it's going to be available, and they're in the middle of doing something and they want their answers right there, whatever kind of app it is. And there's a whole range of apps that are being used these days. And the API allows that to happen. And more than just delivers it, it actually can fetch the content. So we have now the ability to provide content just in time. So at the point someone says, I need it, it gets fetched and is pulled back, and people have it right there.
I love that. And as I hear this, I think about those places we deliver content. And so an organization has information that they know about themselves. That's their knowledge. And they want to get it to their clients. So that might be on their public website. But guess what? If you search for something, it's probably on their search. Oh, wait, I've got salespeople. They need to know this too. So I need it on the internal search system there. Oh, I've got a contact center that's answering questions. I need it on whatever product and tool they have. And then I'm now trying to do some cutting edge stuff. I want to have chatbots and other tools. And what you're saying is you've got a tool that allows for the delivery of content to three different search engines, to two different websites, to a chatbot, et cetera. And you're helping your customers think of how to create that information in a way that it can be reused. So it's not Joe Hilger writing a stream of conscious blog with seven different topics in it because that made sense to him. It's here's a piece of information that's important that fits. That's kind of the story here, isn't it?
It very much is. Yeah. We understand that people are going to be using different applications. They're going to have different places that they're seeking content. But ultimately, from the organization's point of view, they need some governance around that and make sure that what they have is available where it's needed, and that they don't have different groups of people replicating each other's work and potentially coming up with multiple versions of things that possibly don't even agree with one another. So you want to have some way to have some central oversight into what you're creating. So this is where the structuring comes into play. We can start to think about when you reuse content, that reduces the temptation to create duplicative content. It allows the content to have the ability to be current because we're maintaining the content better because there's one version of something that we need to communicate. And we're then able to think about what different parts of the organization can add in terms of the overall value to the customer. So a lot of what this does is it connects the organization and is starting to think more holistically about how they communicate to customers. You're starting to build relationships across the organizations where different parts of the organizations can contribute what they know best and add it to this larger pool of content that can be delivered wherever it's needed.
What an important thing. And I think organizations are just starting to learn, you know, in knowledge management, we talk about silos. And what you're talking about is let's break down that type of silo so that information flows more freely and can be combined in a way that's meaningful for the receiver or the person that's looking for that information. So, you know, this has such an impact across an organization. It brings up a couple thoughts to me. One is, you know, it's that ongoing battle of centralized content management or decentralized. What's your experience? How do you handle this type of content creation? Is it a central group that's receiving information from others and structuring it? Or is it some sort of governance setup and use of the tool so that a wider group of people can make changes?
That's an excellent question. And it's one that I think is ongoing in organizations. They're trying to figure out the right balance because I don't think you can be either completely centralized or completely decentralized. You need to be able to accommodate both centralization and decentralization to some degree. I think especially since the pandemic, we see more and more devolution of distributed work, things like that. And the beauty of headless content management is that it can accommodate different teams working in different ways. And one of the things I think we do very well as a product, Content by Kentico, is to think about how large organizations with complex needs need to structure their work and basically create groups of people and groups of content and provide this kind of governance around it so that people can work on things in different ways, depending upon their needs. I mean, some things need a lot of central oversight potentially, and then other things we need to make sure that people can just do their work without having any unnecessary complications there. So we have even ideas like in our features in our product, such as custom workflows, which means that, you know, different kinds of content would have different levels of oversight. We have things like different levels of permissions about what people can do and different ways of providing sharing across the organization. You can share certain types of content where everyone in the organization has access to it. In other cases, you may have assets, especially if there's like licensing involved or if it's something very proprietary or something that you can restrict the access to different groups. And so you make sure that the right people get the right content. So it's just like with our customers, we want to make sure that only the content is given to the people who need that content and they don't get extraneous content. We want to have the same for the employees where they're not getting bombarded with everything. Right? They have access to what they need, but they're not seeing things that they don't need.
So in answering the question, centralized or decentralized, you've got a platform that supports both. And all of us in the industry are watching where that heads. Where is it going? What is the right answer? Because I don't think anyone knows. And in many ways, it's probably specific to an organization as well. So
yeah, it is. It's going to vary according to the organization. Mm-hmm. But in our experience, we work with a lot of very large organizations, particularly multinational companies, and they have the need to develop some of their content centrally and then share that widely so people can use it. Then they also have groups that need to develop their own content in different markets that's going to be separate from anything that's developed centrally. We support features that allow for localization of content. So you can take a base content that you have and then allow that to be adapted to local markets and obviously translated. And you still have governance around that. You can tell where that variant came from and then supporting the workflow so that people can take it to the next step and adapt it to the needs of a specific market. So there's a range of things that organizations need to do, and we work to support them doing that.
Love that. One last tech thing, and then I want to talk a little bit about how organizations use, you know, who's the buyer, et cetera. But we've been doing something real interesting with headless CMSs lately that we're excited about, and I want to get your thoughts and feedback.
Okay.
So the headless CMS gives you that ability to have those chunks of content or the pieces of content that can be assembled. And creating personalized content, et cetera, we've been using knowledge graphs as a way to say, this is what I know about this person. What organization do they work for? If they're a customer, if it's kind of a B2B type situation, what are their interests? What have they bought in the past? And from that, I'm able to interact with the headless CMS to say, I'm writing an article for this customer, and the graph has told me all about them so that I can decide which pieces of information are best assembled to put there. And really excited about the combination of graphs that can really do that identity management in a way that, you know, especially in Europe, you can't do as much anymore with cookies, for example, yeah. Right? But also really pull information from all of your different systems. It can be that aggregator, that mm-hmm. single view of who you're speaking to. And then in a neat way, you then have your headless CMS with that content that can be assembled and personalized there. Do you see that starting to explode in the industry, or are you hearing a lot about that?
Oh, sure. We have an approach that can really work with all kinds of different technology. And as you mentioned, personalization is a very strong goal for organizations. And most organizations are still trying to figure it out, to be honest, what it is that they need to emphasize and put the resources into. But the idea of having structured content means that you can combine things in different ways. You can have variations. So if you need to have different subversions of something, depending upon the audience segment, where they're located, that kind of thing, it's all available. I think to your question about things like knowledge graphs and how they fit in there, there's certainly opportunities to use them. In the case that you're talking about, it'd be used in helping the author or the content developer decide what content to put together. There are other ways that this happens where people are using headless CMSs, including ours, to provide personalization in more real time, where it's kind of being decided based on what we know about someone, that they need to see something for a particular geographic location because we can tell that that's where they're at, or, you know, some other characteristics about them. And we work with other partners. One of our partners we work with is a company called Uniform, and they provide personalization as a service and can pull together information about what's known about someone looking for the content, and that can work with our system to help pull the right package together for people in real time.
I love that. So Uniform is something our listeners should be checking out if they're wanting to do some personalization with their headless CMS.
Yeah, it's a good company. Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, what you've described so far, Michael, has impacts across an organization. Who should be listening to us? Who should be saying, I want content, raising their hand? I want this product.
Yeah. Well, what we're finding is that there are different people who get interested in this. And normally there's someone who becomes a real advocate for this approach because they realize that how things have been done in the past just isn't working so well. So they get interested in the headless approach and decide that that's what their organization needs to do. Oftentimes, developers are the first people to learn about this. I mean, there is a bit of tech involved with setting it up, and they hear about it and they love it because it so radically simplifies how they have to do things. Instead of trying to customize some beast of a content management system, they now have so much flexibility and they can pull together different services. Like I just mentioned, Uniform, mm-hmm. they could integrate that in together, and they have all this flexibility that they didn't have before. It makes their work so much faster. So they're often early people involved in the conversation. But as far as the people like me who are interested in the creation and development of content, seeing growing interest there. And it could be content leaders, the people who are deciding what is it that we need, how are we going to support our business stakeholders. Those people are seeing the possibilities of it. People who are content managers, the ones who manage content on a daily basis, they are interested in this because one of the benefits I mentioned earlier is that you can keep things more easily up to date when you have this kind of approach. And so that is a big benefit to someone in a content management role. And then content creators are starting to get aware of this. It's a little bit of a potential change for them. A lot of people are used to just writing whatever they want. But, you know, we see people who have a strong focus to the kinds of content they create, they already have a structure that they tend to use. But people who have a specific focus to their content already are part of the way towards building out a structure. And then we just need to work with them to bake that into the system so that it's there to reuse. So they're getting interested in it as well. So it is a team decision. Obviously, if not everyone buys into it, it's not going to be a successful solution for an organization. So I encourage all roles to be involved in the conversation.
As I listen to this, you know, there's a wonderful community of content strategists I see on Twitter and LinkedIn that regularly talk about things. And I know we at EK are trying to push this idea, but this is something that is, to me, it's not yet hit far enough mainstream. I want to see like the chief marketing officer. I want to see the CIO maybe, but head of sales saying, I need this, right? I think right now we see that the people that are a little more technical, be it in understanding content or understanding technology, saying, oh, wow, this makes a difference. And, you know, you watch the curve on these things, and it sounds like we at EK, because we believe strongly in evangelizing these things, and I know yourself and that whole community, this is something we all have to do more of, is get the word out. And this is some of it, right? This is a way to do things that's different than how you did things before, but it matters. And, yes. And let's get it done.
Yeah.
So two last questions, and then I'll let you go. Content is one of the leaders in the headless CMS space. And there's competitors.
Yeah.
Tell us what makes content better than the others. Why should someone use your product as opposed to one of the others on the market?
It's a great question, because this is a field that's growing so quickly. It's attracted a lot of companies in recent years. So we have completely new companies that have jumped into this area. We have even some of these legacy companies that are trying to retrofit their old products to make them a little bit more like this. They often really can't succeed because the product wasn't designed from the start to be a headless product. So what we talk about is a native headless product. It's really designed for this flexibility from the start. So we are a native headless product. We haven't made any compromises in this approach, but we also are a company that's been in the content management business for a long time. We've been around 17, 18 years. So we understand the needs of users in content management. So we're a very unique company in that respect. I really think our attention to business users is a big differentiator for us. There are a lot of products out there that are very developer focused. As I mentioned, developers love this approach, but ultimately we're not just building a database for developers. We are building a tool that needs to support all kinds of different business users. And that's what we care about. And we even have a dedicated UX research team that regularly is talking to our customers to understand how they approach their work, what it is they need our product to do, how to make sure that we don't overwhelm them with things that they don't need, you know, to get this right for them. So we spend a lot of time on that. We have these features that I believe are better than our competitors in terms of providing the governance around these complex needs. So the things like the localization support and the ability to manage different collections of content and access rights and permissions and all these kinds of features are things that not every headless system will offer. Some of them are pretty bare bones. So I think as a package, we really stand out.
So mature,
yep,
but purpose-built for this reason.
Absolutely.
That's a great story. So my last question is one I ask really every vendor we have in this, which is, for me, technology has changed what we can do in knowledge management. It doesn't drive it, but it changes the art of the possible. And I love to talk to people that are knee deep in the product space, because you all seem to be the ones going, here's the next new cool thing that's going to change the way we improve the flow of information, both internally and externally across an organization, right? So you've talked about a lot of stuff that in some ways is new for our listeners, but I bet there's even more ahead of that. What's the future? What's the next cool thing that is going to come from, you know, it doesn't even have to be necessarily what's in your product, right? But what's going to change the way information gets shared going forward in your idea that we can share with our listeners so that they can be thought leaders in their organization?
I think there's a lot coming up. And to be honest, we don't entirely know what's ahead. I mean, we have some clues, but as far as the stickiness of it and what gets implemented, I mean, you made the point earlier about the transition to headless, like how far are we along and why may this not yet be as far along as it will be? Because these kinds of major shifts take place over a period of time. I think the shift to headless is going to be a 10-year time horizon, and we're still in the early stages of that. There's quite a lot happening out there as it relates to AI, machine learning, and as well as different ways of automation. And I think a lot of what's there is promising, but it's really trying to fix problems. We have all this content that's been unstructured in the past, and people are trying to throw technology at it to fix these problems that have accumulated over time. I call it content debt. It's just like technical debt. It's content debt. And the thing is that even the smartest technology can't fix your content debt. You need to change how you work with content to really get the benefits of these new technologies. So as people start to structure their content and move to an API-first approach, I think things like AI and automation are even going to be more powerful. And that's going to open up all kinds of things that I honestly probably can't even fully anticipate, but it will happen. And it's going to be big.
Talk about having a digital conversation because you have content chunked enough that the technology can talk back to you, right?
Yeah.
In a way that isn't that awful experience we get on the, you call the big organizations with their phone tree, press one for this, or say yes, we didn't hear you, say yes again. That's exciting. And I agree with you. There's some neat stuff coming there. Michael, thank you. This was fun. It's great to hear about content, but it's also great to further educate all of our listeners on the power of this structured content and breaking down the document silos. So for our listeners, I want to thank you all for listening to this episode of KnowledgeCast. To check out more information on knowledge management and knowledge management solutions, visit our website at enterprise-knowledge.com. Thanks, y'all.